I want to speak to you on this subject. Listen very carefully. Running on empty. Running on empty. I'm going to get into it in just a little bit. Bitterness will leave you with a feeling of emptiness. If you feel empty today, there's bitterness in your heart, most assuredly. You probably know the story. Maybe you don't, but let me set the story so you understand where we are. In Ruth chapter number 1, Naomi is married to a fine gentleman by the name of Elimelech. They live in the land of Israel, land of Canaan, and they're going to take, because of famine in the land, they're going to move their family. They have two boys. They're going to move their family down into Moab, where they should not go, and God had told them not to go into that land, have nothing to do with them, but they disobey God. They think that maybe because of the famine, they'll find a lot of food down there, and so they leave. And as they leave, when they go down there, the Bible says they stayed there or continued there for 10 years. I personally don't think they planned on being there that long. I think they planned on just going down there and staying just a short while and then coming back to their home. But it ended up being 10 years. Now, while they're there, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. And not only she dies, but her two boys, they grow up, they get married. But those two boys, they also die. And so here she is, she's a widow, and she is bereaved of her husband. She has two daughter-in-laws, one is named Ruth, the other is Orpah, and she decides that she better go back into her homeland. And so her daughter-in-laws want to go with her, but she says, no, I think you should stay here. But one, Ruth, says, no, I'm going where you go. My God, your God is my God. I'm going wherever you go. And so she begins to make the trip back into her homeland. And we see what happens there, verse 19 through 22 that we read. And we'll comment on that in just a little bit. I heard a story about a parakeet. This parakeet was named Chippy. What a name for a parakeet. Chippy was a parakeet, and the owner of Chippy one day was cleaning out. She did not put a paper down for all the drippings and the debris, and she didn't put a paper down in her little cage there. So she decided to get a vacuum, and she would take that vacuum and get the hose and just put that hose into the cage there and take out the debris. Well, she went to do that, and she put the hose in, but wouldn't you know it, the phone rang. And when the phone rang, she got the phone. She happened to be on the phone talking. And as she got the phone, she wasn't paying attention. And she pointed that vacuum hose upward instead of downward. And as she pointed it upward, little Chippy flew into that hose. Little Chippy flew into that hose and went down into the middle of that the vacuum cleaner. And by the time she was off the phone, put that phone down, she looked and she realized little Chippy was gone. Well, it didn't take a rocket scientist to realize Chippy didn't fly out of that cage. Not with it being closed somewhat. So she decided to go into that vacuum cleaner and look for Chippy. Lo and behold, Chippy was right where she thought Chippy would be. And Chippy, I might mind you, was a very dirty little parakeet. I mean, Chippy looked like, you know, you've seen that Woodstock creature. That's what Chippy looked like. And she took little Chippy out. She said, I got to take care of Chippy. And she went to the faucet, turned on the water, and began to clean Chippy by just running the water over Chippy. Well, now Chippy looked like a drowned rat. And that didn't go very well with her. So she said, well, I got to take care of Chippy. So she got the hair dryer out and began to take the hair dryer and just started drying Chippy out. And boy, Chippy feathers went everywhere. Wouldn't you know it, after she was done, she put Chippy in that cage. And instead of hearing Chippy sing, Chippy just looked like what many of you look through the week, just staring blankly out of her cage, wondering what in the world happened. Now look, that is you in a nutshell. In the week from this point till next Sunday, many of you are going to have the world just make you dirty. I mean, the devil's going to get you and just sap you with all you have, and you're going to look like a drowned rat. And then the flesh is going to come, and you're going to blow dry you clean, just blow dry you, and so that you look like you're so disheveled. That's what the typical person looks like, good old Chippy. Now, you don't want to look like that. You don't want to feel like that. You know, have you ever borrowed a car from a Baptist? Give me this one. Really? Have you ever gone up to a Baptist, a fellow Baptist, said, can I borrow your car? And the person says, well, sure. And you're kind of, really? Sure. And you get the car, and the first thing you do is when you get in the car, you turn the key and you look at the gas gauge. And then you realize there's a reason why that fellow Baptist gave you that car. You look at that gas gauge, and instead of a full tank, it's an empty tank, and you realize your good old wonderful Baptist Fred has given you that car, so you'll put gas in that car. There's always a catch to anything. And you get that car, and you begin to drive it. Have you ever driven a car down the way? Or maybe you're on a trip or something, you begin driving that car, and you look at that gas gauge. Boy, there's a lot of security when that gas gauge is all the way on full, isn't it? But boy, you watch that gas gauge, and you're not too concerned. It hits about midway. Fellas, are you like this? And it starts to go about midway. And this day in society, you start look at gas stations on the side of the road, and you look at the prices, and you look at the price, and it says $3.17 a gallon. And you say, well, I can do better than that. By this time, it's coming dangerously low to empty. And you keep on going. You say, you know what? I can do better than that. You're taking a risk, aren't you? And you keep on going, and that thing gets on empty. And when it's on empty, you become very, very tense. I mean, so tense. Reminds me of the story about my sister when she just started to drive. And she came home. She walked about 2 or 3 miles. I might have told this story. And she came home, and she said, Dad, the car just broke. What do you mean the car broke? It just broke. It won't go anymore. It won't run. It won't go anywhere. It just broke. Well, let's go. And he hopped in the car and went down there and went in and clicked it on. And the first thing he noticed, that gas gauge all the way on empty. And he told my sister, he said, Terry, that car didn't break. You silly little girl, that car is out of gas. And maybe that happens to you. When you feel like you're out of gas and you're running on empty, that's when you become tense. Hey, I was going to bring it today, but let's pretend. You know what you do? Have you ever seen, let's pretend this is a gas filler-upper right here. Have you ever seen anybody walking down the road and they have a gas filler-upper and they're walking down the road? You ever see them with a smile on their face? You never do you? When they're walking down the road and they have a gas container and they're walking down the road, you look at them, they're not too happy, are they? They're frowning. I've never seen somebody walk around on the side of the road towards a gas station where their car has just ended up being empty and they're going to get a fill-up. I've never seen them going, but they're not skipping to the loo, my darling. They're not smiling as they go. No, their pretty state of mind is pretty bad. They're not too happy. They're on the other side of the scale. Now look, you got a choice in life whether you want to be full or empty. Naomi, she went out full, and the Bible says she came back empty. Why? What happened to her? What happened to Naomi when she left her homeland? And trouble comes. By the way, when trouble comes in your life is when you're more apt to get away from God than any other time in your life. You know why? You cry out to God and you expect God to help. And sometimes God says, I think this is something you need to go through. And he lets you go through it. And people get mad at God. They get bitter. And they leave where God wanted them to come. Listen, just because a famine is happening here. Hey, if a hurricane came through Massachusetts and went right through Carver, it doesn't mean, well, I think God wants me to live in Florida. I don't think so. Or God wants me to live in Texas. I've been in Texas. It's not all it's cranked up to be, let me tell you. God wants me to move to California. California has mudslides. You know everywhere you would want to go, there's a problem where you go. You see, the place you go doesn't make you happy. It's what's inside. Remember that song, we're going to have VBS in just a little bit, and we sing that song, I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy. Wait a minute. Why are people happy? Because they have joy in their heart. You see, if you're going to be happy in your life, it starts with joy inside.
Happiness is a manifestation of what happens inside. And people don't get joy by looking like Chippy or having problems in their life. People get joy by their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you get right with God, when you're walking with God, that's when you get joyful, because you realize no matter what happens in your life, your walk with God cannot be broken apart, and you have joy. I have the joy down in my... But if you're running on empty today, I guarantee you, you're going to be like that fellow on the side of the road going to the gas station to get a fill-up, and you're not going to be too happy. You're going to have this... I know, I'm so happy I can't even make a sad look. And you're going to have a sad look on your face. People are going to look at you, that fellow just doesn't look too happy. No, because he's empty. He's empty. Did you know the word Naomi means pleasant? Naomi left her homeland, and Naomi means pleasant. But when she went back to her homeland after leaving her homeland, the people looked at her, and Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." Anybody guess what Mara means? Bitter. She left where God wanted her to be, and she went away from God, and then she said she lost her husband. She lost her son. She lost another son. She lost her daughter-in-law. She took back one daughter-in-law, but as she comes back, the people say, "Is this Naomi? Is this the pleasant one? What's happened to you, Naomi?" And she says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter." Because you see, folks, when you get away from God, you can't be happy. How's your relationship with Him this morning? You know what we need? We need to go to some joy fill-up stations. We need to find some stations along the way that would help us to fill up and become full of joy. Hey, that's what church is all about. You know what you need to do? You need to stay in church, amen? Don't ever leave the church. You leave the church, you're headed for a place that God doesn't want you to be, and you're going to become a bitter one. Here she is. Now watch it. Here she is where God wanted her. Problems come. A famine. And she left. Now notice, you got your Bibles open. I want you to see something. Look at verse 21. If you got your Bibles open, look at verse 21. Notice what she said. "I went out full." Boy, she left full. She was where God wanted her to be. And she left full. "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." She was where God wanted her to. Okay, problems come, but she's full. Did you know you could be happy and have problems? What do you mean, preach? If I have problems, I'm not very... No, remember, I have the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy. God bless you. I'm glad you're happy. Not too happy on the bus, but I'm glad you're happy in church. I'm happy. It's in the heart. You see, things can happen in your life, but you can still have joy in your soul. Now, I know and circumstances come and circumstances go. And look, as long as you're on this earth, things are going to come your way that the circumstances are going to cause you to kind of be dismayed about life and kind of look at things. But when you have the Lord in your heart and you're close to Him and you have a relationship with Him and you're walking with Him, you can be joyful. You don't have to walk around with the mully grubs. My sister is in the hospital. She's been there 5 days. I call her on the phone. She can't talk for more than a couple minutes. "Keith, I got to go." I can hardly hear her. I said, "Terry, what's going on?" "I got to change my life. I never want to go through this again," she said. She's got a pancreatic attack this week. They do numbers, and her pancreas is supposed to have a reading of 50, and it was up to 2,300, skyrocketed, 44 times the normal reading. Her body's letting her know something. You know what? Even like our body lets us know something, God lets us know something too. You have trouble in your life and you don't understand and things are happening, you can still have joy in your heart because you can look up to God and say, God, I understand things. I understand what this book says. This book says man born of woman being a man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. I understand that as long as I'm on this earth, I'm going to have trouble in my life. Death is going to come to all us all. Sickness is going to happen to families. Things are going to happen. I'm going to have a flat tire once in a while. My engine's going to blow up once in a while. I'm going to have financial problems perhaps. But you know what, Lord? I want to stay close to you because in staying close to you, I feel like I can get through life because I know that everything that happens to me is for a reason and you will never forsake me, Lord. I just want to be in your will. You see, when problems come in our life and we start running from God, that's where we become bitter in life. God wants us to stay close to Him, and sometimes He brings things in our life so we'll come this way and not that way, but the human thing to do is to go that way from God. And if you go that way, my dear friend, things get worse, not better. Elimelech says, let's go down where there's food. And he goes down where there's food. And by the way, the Bible says nothing about God leading them down to Moab. The Bible says God brought her back to her hometown in verse number 21. Look at it. I went out full. It doesn't say the Lord took me out full. I went out full. She chose that. He chose that. The family chose that. And the Lord hath brought me. The Lord hath brought me again empty. But don't you know, when you go away from God, it's God that wants to bring you back. You may come back empty, but there's always something that God has for you to do. How about you in your life? When circumstances seem to look at you and you think there's no help, I've got to do something. No, all you have to do is be in God's center will, in the center of His will. Just stay there no matter what. Now, let me give you a few things very quickly. Notice the consequences of backsliding. Verse number 19 says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? They're expecting Naomi to come back, and they're expecting to see her with a smile on her face. 10 years have elapsed. She comes back and it's not the same Naomi that they saw when she left. Circumstances have come and it's changed her. And they look upon her. Perhaps she's wearing some different clothes, but I guarantee you they looked at her and her countenance has changed. When you get into sin, it affects the countenance that you have. Preachers always say this, and I know it's true. I never knew that it was true until I got behind a pulpit. But I can look at people pretty much, and I can look at the countenance on your face and I can tell if you've had a tough week. And there's some folks here today, you've had a tough week. I can tell if people are having some problems. I can tell by the way people respond to the preaching if they're away from God or if they're close to God. I can tell if I tell a joke and the smile comes, and or if I tell a joke and you just sit there, don't smile at my jokes, and that hurts my feelings, by the way. So smile at my jokes, whether they're good or bad, just smile at them all the time. But I can tell. You probably can tell when I come into the pulpit, I try to be even-keeled as much as possible. Look, I've had a tough week. My wife knows I've had a tough week, but hopefully you don't know how I've had a tough week until now. It hasn't been the best of weeks for me. Not by a long shot. I know you're thinking, what happened? You don't need to know. You don't need to know. It's been a tough week. Hadn't been a good week. In fact, I told my wife some things and I wish I'd never said them. It's been a bad week. But I want you to know that when I come into this pulpit, I don't want you to think, what's wrong with preacher? What's going on? You don't look good. I'm still sweating up here like I usually do. In fact, I'm taking this thing off. It's so hot in here. My wife told me I have permission. When my wife speaks, I listen. Amen. E.F. Hutton in my house right there, buddy. And I listen. I've taken her advice. I'm taking that jacket off. I don't feel ashamed about it. If I got permission from her to take that thing off, and that's as far as it goes, by the way, I'm taking that off. Amen. The consequences of backsliding are that people will know you've been away from God. Do you want people to know that? Do you want people to look at you and say, what's wrong with so-and-so? Oh, where have they been? What have they been doing? 10 years. And she comes back and, is this Naomi? Don't look like Naomi. She's kind of different. She's not walking like she used to. There's something different about her. Her countenance has changed. By the way, sin will change your countenance. You've been out in the world and you've been with the world and everything they do, and it'll beat you up and it'll make you look like you have been there. Her countenance changed. Gone was the smile. Now say hello to the frown. Gone is the fullness of joy. Now say hello to the emptiness. Gone is her pleasantness. Now say hello to bitterness. She's bitter. She's Mara. Bitterness will always rob men and women and children of their sweetness and their innocence. 5 months ago, was it four or five? A little baby was born. To you, it wasn't much. But to me and my wife, it was the sweetest, most innocent little thing ever born on this earth, aside from my children. They call him Little Jake. Little Jake, we get reports, and my wife likes to have her daughter call and put on the speakerphone. You know what my wife and do for entertainment? This is what we do for entertainment. Our daughter calls from Washington, and she puts the little baby, and she says, here's Grandma, here's Grandpa, speak to Grandma and Grandpa. And we hear this little 4 or 5 month old grandchild, and we just sit there, oh, isn't that sweet, isn't that wonderful? That's our entertainment. And we listen to that for hour upon hour upon hour, she does, and hour upon hour and hour, and that's, it's sweet. Just as sweet as that little child is, that little 4 or 5 month old boy. I don't want him to go out in the world and lose his sweetness or innocence. I want him to grow up and be innocent when he's 5. I want him to grow up and be innocent when he's 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 and 30. I want him to be sweet when he's 30. I don't want the world to get a hold of him and spit him out and have Chippy sit there and look like this and what happened. I don't want that to happen to little Jake. I want him to be sweet. Innocent. I want people to look at him when he's old and he's a grandpa like me, full of hair, tanned, with muscles like his grandpa. I want him to be sweet. Not sweet like a girl, but sweet, innocent. Secondly, notice Naomi's state of mind and her spirit. In verse number 20, her response to all this was, don't call me Mara, call me bitter. She knew. She knew that she was defeated. Sin will bind you, and boy, it will spit you out like you have no business. Somebody said this, and I tend to agree with them. This is a great statement. The mess you make of yourself when you go in a far country is the mess you'll live with after you get right. Here they are. They get away from God. Oh, there's trouble in our life. We got to go down here. Look, let me say something to you. Money is never a reason for getting away from where God has placed you. Well, there's a job of $50,000. I'm making $25,000. I'm going there. That's not of God. You check out the Bible. That's not in there. God never will move you for a position where there's more money. Money is not a reason to leave a place and get out of God's will. You'll make a mistake. You know, when I became pastor for the first time, they never told me what I was going to make. Never did. Never. Never. I went there and I found out when I was there for the first time, told them I'd take the job. When I went there the first time, they said, oh, by the way, your salary will be. Oh. You know why? Money, although I need money, money is not going to be my little g, o, d. God is my God. Amen is okay to say to that. You'll be miserable. Listen to your preacher. You'll be miserable if you live your life seeking money. You'll be miserable, miserable. Money does not satisfy. I wish I could tell you there's somebody in my family that has one time had over $10 million and right now they have nothing. $10 million to nothing is quite a drop. And let me tell you, once you've tasted of that, it's like a shark. That shark just needs that. It's like taste of blood, wants more blood. And once you taste it, you want more and you want more and you want more. And it never satisfies. Never does. Now, don't misunderstand me. You need money for food, and I'm not, as you can tell, I'm not against food. We're having food afterwards, amen. You need money for transportation. I understand that. You need money. The church needs money. I need that. But don't live your life seeking after money. She went out pleasant. She came back bitter. Call me bitter, because the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. Then number three, notice that she returned. Look at verse number 22. So Naomi returned. Hey, when you leave the place of God and the will of God for your life and you get away, you know what you should do is get back where you left. You know where most people leave the place and the will of God for their life? Listen, most people leave the place and will of God for their life from God's house, the church. And people get out of church, and all of a sudden, they get out of church, and their life begins to be a mess. And the place to go to get back is, guess where? She returned. Where'd she go? She left. She got back right where she left. The place to go is right back in the church. And get busy in the church, because God has something for you. By the way, look at verse number, she returned to verse 22, and look at the last of it. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Isn't that wonderful? God had a job for her right there. Isn't that good? You see, when you get back, God wants to put you to work. God says, okay, you left. And okay, you think I dealt bitterly with you, but Naomi, you know what? You should have never left. I never told you to leave, Naomi. I told you, okay, trouble came. I wanted to see what you were going to do with that trouble. Famine. Did you ever pray to me, Naomi? Naomi Elimelech, did you ever pray to me? Did you ever ask for me to give you the food that was missing because of the drought? Did you, the famine, did you ever do that? No, we just left. We thought we'd do our own thing, and so we went where there was food. Yeah, but you left me. And now, Naomi, you know what? I'm bringing you home. And she comes back 10 years later, and she's bitter, and people can see it. But you know what? She's back, and God has something for her to do. Praise God. Listen, when you get away from God, and the joy has left you, and that fullness has left you, and you go away, and you're empty, and your countenance has changed, man, make a U-turn quickly, and go back where you came from, and see the smile start to come again, and see God start to use you for the purpose which He made you, and God has something for you to do, and bless God, that's the most wonderful feeling in the world. Here's the problem. A lot of people who leave God never come back. They never do the U-turn. They start justifying their situation in their own eyes and say, you know what? This just is life. I'm miserable and I'll always have to be miserable. But you don't have to be miserable. Miserableness is your choice. Hey, let's talk practicality here. Most people here, by the world's standards, the poorest person, the person with the lowest income today, here, you're rich. How'd you like to be Africa living in a hut? Well, let me ask you something. Could you be happy in Africa? Most Americans would say, no, that's impossible. Oh, so I guess God made everybody in Africa to be miserable. Let's sing that song again. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so... Okay, hold it 1 second. Then if you have the joy in your heart, it doesn't matter if you're living in a hut in Africa or wherever you are living, you can be happy. Amen. You can be happy. But what we do is we focus on our circumstances and we start to look at our life. And Naomi's looking at her life and she says, I used to be happy. I was happy over there. But over there, there was a famine. I couldn't eat. I couldn't support my family. I couldn't do anything. I had to get away. That's where the food was. God didn't move you. You moved you. Oh, yeah. I lost my husband. Lost my son. I lost my other son. And God says, come home, Naomi. Come home, Naomi. Come home, Naomi. I got something for you to do. Barley harvest is coming. You see, happiness is made out of a duty. What's your duty? When God calls you to do something and you do it, that's happiness. When you fulfill God's purpose for your life is when you become happy. When you're outside of that, you become miserable. I think if we go to a joy pump today, I think many of us would have to learn to laugh at ourselves sometimes. Remember that story I told you of when I was an eighth grader, I walked out from, there was a podium here and it had a projector and there was a cord going from here to here, and I gave my 2-minute speech, and oh, I was so glad that that speech was over 2 minutes. And I walked out and I was so glad it was over that I walked and I tripped over that cord and boom, went flat on my face. How many of you have been around eighth graders before? What do eighth graders do when they see some their fellow classmate fall flat on their face? Yeah, they laugh just like you would laugh. And they laughed. And boy, I got up and I was so humiliated. You know what? I think about that and I think, what could have I done? I think if I would have jumped right up and I would have said, you know what? I've got some other tricks to perform today too. Just hang on. I think maybe their laughing would have just been quieted a little bit. But you know what I did? I got up and they started laughing. And I know I turned 20 shades of red. And I walked back and I said, I am never, ever, ever going to get in front of people and give a speech ever, ever again. And you know what? I kept that promise. I kept that promise throughout high school. I kept that promise throughout college. I know you're saying, how'd you graduate? Let me tell you, it was hard. But 16 years later, it took me 16 years, but I went through all the loopholes, and I never, ever gave a speech in college. And then God called me to preach. And I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and I ran. And it took a long time before I finally said, okay. But I went out away from God, and I went through some tough times, but I came back, and then God showed me the purpose for my life. And folks, listen to me, look at your preacher. The happiest days of my life when I've been fulfilling God's perfect will for my life. And you can have the joy of the Lord and in turn happiness when you do God's bidding for your life. What you've got to do is find out what it is. What is it? What is it? Don't run from it. Do it. She went out empty, and she went back. Or she went out full, and she went back empty. Where are you? Full or empty? Where are you? You put a scale here, and it registers your joy. It's a joy meter. Is it full or is it empty? Is it halfway? Hey, if it's this way towards empty, you've got to be very, very tense. You can't be too happy. Hey, go to a joy pump. And fill up this morning. Find out what God wants you to do.
Let's pray. I've got to stop. Father, I pray that you bless us. Dear Lord, thank you for this lesson on joy and happiness and emptiness and fullness. Thank you, dear Lord, that you used one of yours, Naomi, to teach us a lesson about life. And I pray that you'd help each of us to learn the lesson. Help us to learn that when problems come in our life, we're not to run, but we're to cling to you, to look to you. Help us to realize that when we do run, we go out full and we come back empty. Dear God, I pray that you'd speak to some hearts today. There's hearts today that may be close to empty in the joy meter. Help them to fill up. Help them to fill up. Help them to do what you've told them to do. Please. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just.